So the microphone is on. Welcome to all of you who are streaming and to you who are here in the worship center, Spanish speakers, English speakers. So really good to be together this morning. We are obviously having a joint worship service with Encuentro, and the sermon part of the service, it's going to be fun. I'm giving the first half of the message, and Manuel is going to finish with the second half of John chapter 21. So this is the Sunday after Easter, and we are in John 21. We celebrated Easter last Sunday morning. Great celebration. And Encuentro at the other end of the building, you know, they remembered the story of Jesus rising from the dead. We did the same thing here on the English side. Before 6:30 in the morning, out in the back, you know, the sunrise service, we did the same thing. And all the details of the story combined to tell us that the too good to be true story is actually true. Jesus is alive. What a great way to end the story, great way to end the book. But the book isn't finished, because John has another chapter, and he has something for us in that. So the book doesn't end with the noun of resurrection. It ends with a verb of commission, and today we're going to be paying special attention to the verb of commission in John chapter 21. Now, the scene is the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, and this is a very special commission Jesus gives to his disciples then and to all of us now who follow Jesus. The point of the interaction is not to convince the disciples to believe. They already believe. The point is to commission them to act on what they believe. And he does it by way of a fishing lesson. So, John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples who aren't even named, were together. So they are not in Jerusalem. They're up in the north part in Galilee where they had come to know Jesus. This is familiar territory, home stomping grounds. And the seven who are there are very diverse. We know that Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, were fishermen. I doubt if Nathanael was. I doubt if Thomas was. So these guys came from different backgrounds, different occupations before becoming disciples. And yet there they are together. And they're going to work together. They serve together. Weeks after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, just like we are today. And I think especially in the second hour when Encuentro joins us, we will be Spanish speakers, English speakers, men, women, young, old, all together, taking next steps with Jesus. They were out of the pressure cooker in Jerusalem, and Peter got this brilliant idea. He said, I'm going fishing. And for many people, I'm going fishing means I'm going to take it easy for a while. But that's not what Peter meant, because Peter was a professional fisherman. So what Peter meant was, I'm going to work. And he dragged along with him his six good friends, fellow disciples, and they all got in the boat, and they worked. Because fishing for them was not, you know, casting a rod and reel. It was throwing heavy nets. And fish I had to work on this one. Fish bite best at night. So they fished all night long, throwing the nets all night long, and they had what I like to call a Dave Smith fishing trip. Verse 3 says, they went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And that explains why I haven't been fishing in a long, long time. Because every time I went fishing, I never had to worry about cleaning fish. You know, so messy. Who wants to do that? I got skunked every single time. So, I don't fish. So, I and the apostles have something in common. I didn't catch fish. But I've never experienced anything like what followed. When the day was now breaking, verse 4, Jesus stood on the beach. The disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Too far away, too dark, for whatever reason, they didn't recognize him. So Jesus said to them, and here Jesus did some things that I wouldn't do. He said, children. So the next time you're at Corpus Christi and you watch seven big, burly men rowing in or motoring in after a hard night of fishing, I recommend that you not say children. You'll get their attention, but probably not in the way you hope. And then he said, I see that you don't have any fish to eat, do you? If I said that, that would be foolish. Hey, I see you didn't catch anything last night. But it wasn't foolish for Jesus. He knew exactly what he was doing. And they, no, we didn't catch anything. And then he did one more thing that I wouldn't do. He offered a suggestion. And what every fisherman, every football player, every plumber really, really enjoys is somebody sitting on the sidelines watching them work, making suggestions. And then to their ever-loving credit, you know, he said, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll find the fish. They took the stranger's advice. So they cast the net, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. And they said, oh, we didn't know you could fish off the right-hand side of the boat. And of course, they've been fishing off the left and the right side all night. But when they followed this stranger's advice, instantly their luck changed. And John, he was the first one to pick up on what was really going on. He turned to Peter and said, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. And if John was the first one to pick up on it, Peter was the first one to do something. So he was stripped down for work, and he put on his overgarment, and he jumped into the sea to swim to Jesus because he was so excited to see Jesus. He knew he could get there faster swimming than rowing, and he left his six good friends to row into shore, and he got there first, and then they got there. They're dragging all the fish. So I love the action of this. And they go to Jesus, and he's on the shore, and he's already got a charcoal fire laid, and there's fish on the fire. We don't know where he got those fish. And bread hot and ready to eat. And Jesus said to them, verse 10, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. So Simon Peter went up and hauled the net to land full of large fish, 153. Now, some Bible scholars will tell you that the 153 stands for something. It's symbolic. I think it's real validity that this really happened. Because if it had been 148, they would have said about 150. But it was over 150, so they name every one of the fish. 153 caught a lot of fish. And Jesus invited them to have breakfast together. None of them said, hey, and who are you anyway? They all knew it was Jesus. And then in these deliciously memorable words, he laid out the breakfast for them. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and the fish likewise. And if those words sound familiar to you, it's because it's almost exactly what Jesus said, or John wrote, when he was describing Jesus distributing the bread and fish at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And I believe that what Jesus is doing here, he is wanting the disciples to tie in what he did at the feeding of the 5,000 with what he's doing here on the beach. Two things. At the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, yes, it was a tremendous miracle of feeding, multiplying food. He met people's needs. It's a sign showing who he really is. But it was a lesson for the disciples that they were going to have to trust him to provide what they needed as they served in Jesus' name. At the feeding, he provided, they distributed, and so they're going to have to trust Jesus to provide, or they got nothing to give. And the same thing is true for us today. We are serving our world in Jesus' name. We have to trust that he will provide the strength and the wisdom that we need to serve, or we have nothing to give. That's one. Now, the second thing, and you're going to think this is the biggest duh in the world, but the second thing is this whole scene is to show that fishing is very close to the heart of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels all record, really close to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus saying to the fishermen, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. John is the only gospel that doesn't have that exchange. But you can't miss it here. It's all over this passage. Jesus loves fishing. Those who follow Jesus are called to fish. We who follow Jesus today are called to fish. Now, fish are not lost at sea, and fishermen aren't doing the fish any favors when they go fishing. But people are lost without Jesus. And followers of Jesus are never more loving than when we fish for them and tell them about Jesus. Those who are far from God, we tell them about our Jesus. Most of the post-resurrection appearances that Jesus made were to foster faith. Believe. This is to foster fishing. Jesus wants you and me to fish. Wherever we are, work, school, at home, at play, wherever we are. And we fish as we lovingly share the good news that Jesus, who died and rose again, gives eternal life to everyone who believes. That's good news. Your Sea of Tiberias is right where you are. Fish where you are. And if some of your more recent fishing expeditions have been like a Dave Smith trip, maybe it's time you fished on the other side of the boat. And by that, I mean maybe it's time to simply pray. Pray that God would open your heart to want to fish for Jesus. Ask God to open your eyes to see opportunities to fish for Jesus. Pray to God that He would open your mouth to speak boldly and with love as you fish for Jesus. And trust Him to provide exactly what you need when you share the good news. So, here it is. Wrapping up. Ready for this? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Go fish. All right, Manuel. Come on up. Part two.
Buenos días.
Good morning.
¿Me escuchan?
Do you hear me?
Sí. Muy bien. Pastor Dave dejó a Jesús y a los discípulos tomando desayuno.
Pastor Dave left the disciples eating breakfast.
Y ahora voy a contarles algo que pasa después que ellos tomaron desayuno. Tenemos un dicho en Chile que dice así.
We have a saying in Chile that says,
a estómago lleno,
a full stomach,
corazón contento.
And a happy heart.
Lean conmigo, por favor, Juan 21, del 15 al 17.
Let's read together John 21, 15 to 17.
Entonces, cuando habían acabado de desayunar, Jesús dijo a Simón Pedro, Simón, hijo de Juan, ¿me amas más que a estos?
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?
Pedro le dijo, sí, Señor, tú sabes que te quiero.
Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you.
Jesús le dijo, apacienta mis corderos.
Jesus said, feed my lambs.
Y volvió a decirle por segunda vez, Simón, hijo de Juan, ¿me amas?
Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Pedro le dijo, sí, Señor, tú sabes que te quiero.
He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Jesús le dijo, pastorea mis ovejas.
Jesus said, take care of my sheep.
Le dijo por tercera vez.
The third time he said to him,
Simón, hijo de Juan,
Simon, son of John,
¿me quieres?
Do you love me?
Pedro se entristeció.
Peter was hurt.
Porque la tercera vez le dijo, ¿me quieres?
Because Jesus asked him a third time, do you
y
love
le respondió,
me? He said,
Señor, tú lo sabes todo.
Lord, you know all things.
Tú sabes que te quiero.
You know that I love you.
Jesús le dijo,
Jesus said,
apacienta mis ovejas.
Feed my sheep.
Es bonito observar el detalle de que Jesús preparó un desayuno con pescado y pan para los discípulos.
It's nice to realize the details that Jesus prepared fish and bread for his disciples.
Pienso que Jesús nunca perdía una oportunidad para poder colocar un principio espiritual en la vida de las personas.
But Jesus never missed an opportunity to place a spiritual principle in the lives of his followers.
Una vez que la necesidad física estaba saciada,
once the physical need was satiated,
ahora venía lo más importante.
Then came what it was most important,
la comida espiritual,
which was spiritual food.
Como el pastor Dave nos explicó,
as Pastor Dave explained,
los discípulos estaban ahí un poco confundidos, tratando de hacer sentido de lo que estaba pasando.
The disciples were a little confused, trying to make sense of all that was happening.
Pero finalmente ellos entendieron que era el mismo Jesús resucitado que estaba con ellos.
But finally they understood that this was the same Jesus that had been resurrected who was with them.
Y en este contexto comienza uno de los diálogos más interesantes del Nuevo Testamento.
So in this context begins one of the most important dialogues of
Simplemente
the New Testament.
Tres preguntas.
There are simply three questions.
Tres respuestas.
Three answers.
Y tres peticiones.
And three petitions.
Que se repitieron.
That were repeated.
Requests. Esta enseñanza espiritual nos ayuda a entender algo muy vital en nuestra vida como cristianos.
This teaching helps us understand something very important in our Christian lives.
Nos ayuda a reflexionar acerca de nuestro amor por Dios.
It helps us to reflect on our love for God.
Y si valoramos otras cosas más que al mismo Dios.
And whether we value other things more than God himself.
¿Qué es lo que tiene valor para nosotros en la vida?
What has value for us in life?
Porque a veces de lo que decimos a lo que hacemos hay una diferencia.
Sometimes between what we say and what we do, there's a difference.
No hay una consecuencia, no somos consecuentes con lo que declaramos.
We do not manifest consequences of what we actually declare or say.
Es hermoso también ver que Jesús encuentra a los discípulos en su contexto cultural, en sus labores.
It's beautiful to see that Jesus encounters the disciples in their own context, in their work.
Para darles una hermosa lección.
To give them a beautiful lesson.
Lo que Jesús estaba a punto de enseñar a los discípulos.
What he was about to teach the disciples.
Lo había demostrado.
He had demonstrated already.
Él vivió con ellos.
He lived with them.
Les enseñó.
He taught them.
Les demostró cómo tener misericordia de los desvalidos.
And he demonstrated how to have mercy on those
Sufrió.
Who are valued less. He suffered.
Murió.
He died.
Y resucitó.
And he was resurrected.
Y eso lo había hecho por ellos.
He had done all this for them.
Y también por cada uno de nosotros.
And also for each one of us.
El amor debe ser el vínculo perfecto.
The love should be the perfect link.
Que controla y determina nuestras acciones.
Which controls and determines our actions.
El verdadero amor es la virtud que nosotros adquirimos.
True love is the virtue that we acquire.
Cuando amamos a Dios más que todas las cosas.
When we love God above all else.
Me estoy refiriendo al verdadero amor.
I'm referring to true love.
A ese amor con sacrificio.
That love that involves sacrifice.
Ese amor que nos equipa a amar a las personas que no son fáciles de amar.
Which equips us to love people who are not easy to love.
Es un amor trascendente.
It's a transcendent love.
Es un amor que solamente emana del corazón de Dios.
Which only comes from the heart of God.
Esta escena en la playa con los pescados y con el pan.
This scene on the beach with the fish and the bread.
Probablemente trajo a la memoria de Pedro algunas otras instancias.
Probably brought to Peter's mind some other memories.
Experiencias pasadas.
Past experiences.
Tal vez se recordó de la primera pesca.
Maybe he thought of the first time they
Tal vez
he fished.
De la alimentación de los 5,000 donde hubo pan y también pescado.
Or the feeding of the 5,000 where there was also fish and bread.
Y cómo él fue confrontado con su amor a Dios.
And as he had confronted God's love.
Con su amor a Jesús.
With his love for Jesus.
¿Cuánto más lo amaba Jesús?
How much he loved Jesus.
Entonces, lo más probable que también él recordó el momento que él negó a Jesús.
And most probably he remembered the moment that he denied Jesus.
Pero Dios tenía a través de Jesús un plan para la vida de Pedro.
But God had through Jesus a plan for Peter.
Dios estaba colocando la plataforma exacta para poder restaurar a Pedro completamente.
Jesus was creating the perfect platform to be able to restore Peter.
Cuando nuestros fracasos nos destruyen,
when our failures destroy us,
el Señor toma todos esos fracasos,
the Lord takes all those failures,
y nos da una nueva vida,
and gives us a new life.
A veces nosotros llegamos con nuestra vida en mil pedacitos.
Sometimes we get to a point where our life is in a thousand pieces.
Pero el Señor promete restaurarnos por completo.
But the Lord promises to restore us.
Porque
fully.
Ese es el milagro que Dios solamente puede hacer a través de Jesucristo.
That is the miracle that only God can do through Jesus.
Es bueno recordar el pasado.
It's good to remember the past.
Porque a lo mejor nos quedó algo para confesar.
Maybe there's something we still need to confess.
Es bueno que nos prediquemos el evangelio cada día.
But we need to preach to ourselves.
Para recordar
the
de dónde Dios nos sacó.
To remember where God brought us
out from.
Para
recordar su misericordia.
To remember his mercy.
Para recordar que el milagro que Dios hizo impactó nuestra vida y también la vida de los otros.
To remember that the miracle that God did impacted our lives as well as others.
Cuando Jesús estaba diciéndole esta pregunta a Pedro, Pedro, ¿me amas?
When Jesus was asking this question, Peter, do you love
me?
No
le dijo Pedro, ¿tú crees en mí?
He didn't say, do you believe in me, Peter?
O Pedro, ¿tú te sabes el Torah de memoria? O
or
la
Peter,
Torah.
Do you know the Torah by heart?
Si no le dijo Pedro, ¿me amas?
He just said, Peter, do you
el
love me?
El evangelio de Jesucristo es relacional.
The gospel of Jesus is relational.
Nosotros no tenemos una relación con un conjunto de verdades
we
teológicas.
Don't have a relationship with a set of theological truths.
Si tenemos una relación con Jesucristo.
We have a relationship with Jesus
Christ. Y esa relación tenemos que cultivarla cada día.
And we need to cultivate that relationship every day.
Podemos ver también que Dios no había terminado con Pedro.
We can see too that God had not finished with
todos
Peter.
Todos sabemos los vaivenes de la existencia de Pedro.
We all know the ups and downs of Peter's life.
Un hombre iracundo.
A man who was angry sometimes.
Un hombre que tenía poca definición.
He had little definition.
No boundaries. Era la primera vez que Jesús dialogaba con este discípulo.
It wasn't the first time that Jesus had to deal with
this disciple.
Jesús estaba
trabajando en la vida de Pedro por algún tiempo.
He'd been working in his life for
some time. Le permitió fallar.
He allowed him to fail.
Y ahora Jesús estaba terminando esa obra que él empezó para restaurarlo completamente.
And now Jesus is determining that or finishing that work that he had started of complete restoration.
Así es Jesús con sus seguidores.
That's how Jesus is with his followers.
Nos da permiso para fallar.
He allows us to fail.
Nos da la autorización para cometer errores.
He gives us permission to make mistakes.
Pero Él no termina de completar la obra que Él prometió completar en nuestras vidas.
But He does not fail to complete the work He has begun
contigo.
In us. He has not finished with
Él
you
no ha terminado conmigo.
Or with me.
Él cree en ti.
He believes in
está
you.
Está dispuesto a usar tus fracasos.
He's willing to use your failures.
Los fracasos del pasado.
The failures of the past.
Tus tristezas.
Your sadness.
Y usarte para su gloria.
And use it for his glory.
Dios nos usa a pesar de nuestros fracasos.
God uses us despite our failings.
¿Qué significa cuando Jesús le dice, me amas más que a estos?
What does it mean when he says, Jesus, Peter, do you love me more than these?
Algunos dicen, no se estaba refiriendo a los discípulos.
Some say he was not referring to the disciples.
Ni mucho menos a los peces.
Or the fish.
Sino que estaba confrontando a Pedro con en dónde él tenía su corazón. ¿Qué es lo que amaba más?
But
amaba más las cosas del mundo que al mismo Jesús.
He was confronting Peter with what did Peter love the most? Did he love the things of the world or Jesus?
En una oportunidad también Pedro dice lo siguiente en Juan 13:37.
At one point Peter said the following in John 13:37.
Señor,
Peter asked, Lord,
¿por qué no te puedo seguir ahora mismo?
Why can't I follow you now?
Yo daré mi vida por ti.
I will lay down my life for you.
Entonces esto nos lleva a reflexionar qué en la vida tiene más valor para nosotros.
So this makes us reflect on what in our lives
porque
has
por una
the
parte,
most value
hacemos
for us.
Estas tremendas declaraciones que amamos a Dios.
On the one hand, we make these great declarations that
pero
we love God.
Pero con nuestras acciones decimos lo contrario.
But we say something different or opposite with our actions.
¿Qué es lo más importante para ustedes en
what
tu vida?
What is the most important for you
amamos
in this life?
A Dios más que al mundo?
Do we love God more than the world?
La palabra amor que aparece en estos versículos,
the word love in these verses,
se entiende de dos maneras.
Can be understood in two ways.
En el griego, aquí hay algunos expertos en griego.
We have some experts here in Greek.
Hay una palabra puede tener más de un significado.
But in Greek, a word can have more than one meaning.
Entonces estudié por ahí que la palabra amor tiene hasta 9 distintas distintos significados.
That the word love can have up to 9 meanings.
El que usó Jesús aquí,
the one that Jesus used here,
es agape,
is agape,
que es un amor con sacrificio,
which
un
is
amor
a sacrificial
incondicional,
love, unconditional,
un amor ilimitado,
without
un amor
limits,
divino,
a divine love.
Y Pedro entonces le responde con un amor más relacionado a nivel humano.
And Peter responds with a word that's more related to a human relationship,
que se llama filial,
which is filial.
Y Jesús estaba como estirando un poco a Pedro porque le pregunta una y otra vez y Pedro le sigue respondiendo.
Jesus is stretching Peter because he keeps asking him and Peter keeps responding.
Lo que Jesús quería lograr en esa interacción,
what Jesus wanted to achieve in that interaction,
era hacerle entender a Pedro,
is to make Peter understand,
que para él ser un líder de la iglesia,
that to be a leader of the church,
para él tomar las responsabilidades que venían,
to be able to handle what was coming,
él tenía que transicionar por un amor limitado, un amor a nivel humano, a un amor que trasciende, un amor a nivel divino.
So he needed to transcend from a limited human type of love to a limitless divine love.
Un amor que entrega, un amor que no se basa en condiciones.
And a love that gives fully and doesn't, it's not based on human conditions.
También podemos ver que la restauración de Pedro fue pública.
We can see that Peter's restoration was public.
La negación que Pedro hizo a Jesús fue en público.
Peter's denial was also in public.
Y su restauración fue también
as
pública.
Well as his restoration was in public.
Dios nos hace la misma pregunta hoy.
God asks us the same question
Esta
today.
Pregunta se ha seguido repitiendo a través de la historia.
This question has continued to be repeated throughout history.
Si Jesús estuviera entre nosotros,
if Jesus were here with us,
diría Manuelito.
He would say, Manuelito.
Así me llamaba mi mamá.
That's what my mom called me.
¿Me amas?
Do you love me?
Y ahí, cada uno de sus nombres.
And each of your names, he would say.
Recordemos que Jesús resumió toda la ley en dos cosas.
We remember that Jesus summarized the whole law in two things.
Amar a Dios.
Love God.
Y al prójimo.
And your neighbor.
Dios nos llama a todos,
God calls all of us,
de alguna manera, a ser pastores.
To be shepherds in some way.
La escritura que leímos habla de corderos y de ovejas.
The scripture that we read talks about sheep and lambs.
Algunos dicen que eso se refiere a cristianos que son más jóvenes o cristianos que son más viejos.
Some think that means young or old Christians.
Tenemos que cuidarnos los unos con los otros.
We need to take care of one another.
Hablaba con el pastor Dave ayer o antes de ayer.
I was talking to Pastor Dave yesterday or
y,
day
y él decía
yesterday.
Que una cosa es tener el oficio, la oficina de pastor.
He says it's one thing to have the position of pastor.
Pero la otra es tener el don de pastorear, el que nos cuidemos los unos a los otros.
But it's another to have a pastoral gift.
Dios nos llama a todos a cuidarnos.
He calls us to all take care of
a orar
each other,
los unos por los otros.
To pray for one another.
A amarnos los unos por los
to
otros.
To love one another.
Pedro todavía fue usado por Dios,
Peter was still used by God,
para pastorear a otros,
to shepherd others,
a pesar de su vida, a pesar de sus fracasos,
despite his life, his failings.
Dios nos llama a nosotros a hacer lo mismo hoy día.
God calls us to do the same today.
Una de las maneras que nosotros evidenciamos nuestro amor por Dios,
one of the ways that we make evident our love for God,
es cómo tratamos a nuestro prójimo,
is how we treat our neighbors.
La cruz nos recuerda el gran mandamiento,
the cross reminds us of the great commandment,
amar a Dios,
to love God,
y al prójimo,
and our neighbors.
No escogemos a quién amar,
we don't choose who we're going to love.
Amamos a Dios,
we love God,
y Él nos equipa.
And he equips
para amar
us
al prójimo,
to love our neighbor,
aún a nuestros enemigos,
even our enemies.
El buen pastor Jesús,
Jesus, the good shepherd,
nos da el ejemplo de cómo nosotros debemos actuar.
Gives us the example of how we
Él rescató
should
behave. A la oveja perdida.
He rescued the lost
Alcanzó
sheep.
A aquellos que estaban rechazados por la sociedad.
He reached those who were rejected
Le dio
by
valor
society.
A la mujer que la sociedad le había robado.
He gave value to women the value that had been taken from them.
Eso nos llama Jesús a hacer nosotros hoy día.
God calls us to do the same today.
Proclamar las buenas nuevas de salvación.
Proclaim the good news of salvation.
Si amamos al prójimo,
if we love our neighbor,
vamos a proclamar las buenas nuevas del evangelio a ellos.
We will proclaim the good news of the gospel.
Si alguna vez
them,
se le olvida de cómo actuar como un cristiano,
if at some point you forget how to act as a Christian,
mire la vida de Jesús.
Look at Jesus's life.
Una de las consecuencias del pecado,
one of the consequences of sin,
es nuestra inhabilidad de amar,
is our inability to love,
a la extensión que Dios nos demanda,
to the extent that God demands.
Pero cuando estamos en Cristo,
but in Christ,
Él nos da la posibilidad incluso de amar a nuestros enemigos.
He even gives us the ability to love our enemies.
Tu pasado,
your past,
no es una excusa para no servir a Dios,
is not an excuse,
sino
to
una
not
razón,
serve God,
sino una razón para servirle, para dar tu vida por completo
to serve him, to
a la causa del Evangelio.
Life completely to the cause of the gospel.
Si lo único que logras en la vida,
if the only thing you achieve in life,
es amar a Dios,
is love God,
y al prójimo,
and your neighbor,
eso será suficiente.
That will be enough.